Last week we began to look at a verse in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. It goes like this: "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And one of the things that I mentioned was this, that I don't believe that it's been translated properly. I believe it's more of a, almost a sarcastic or a question, saying this. Now, just think about it. That's what he's saying. Just think about it. Just consider this. If your sins are like scarlet, can they ever be as white as snow? Is it actually possible? Though they are red like crimson, can they ever be as pure as wool? Could this ever happen? And you see, that's the picture of the repentant sinner, the one who truly sees themselves as they are before God. They ask the question, could I ever be clean? And you will ask that question till you're going down. You ask any Christian who loves the Lord, who's been on the Christian walk for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, and you say to them, do you still feel that you wonder if you could ever get into heaven the way you are? And you see yourself, and you see your sin, and you say, isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing that he's taken me and changed me? Because I cannot and I could not. There is no hope of me ever being like snow wool in my own strength. It's impossible. And so I think the writer is saying, he's asking this question, do you think it's possible? And we reminded ourselves that the heart is deceitful, as Jeremiah told us, and desperately wicked. We will convince ourselves up and down our land, up and down this world, right around the globe, there are men and women, millions of them, who believe they're good enough to go to heaven. And the Bible said they're not. You cannot go to heaven. You cannot stand before God, the Holy God, in your own strength. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 7, a wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, what we do need to do, we didn't look at this fully last week, is the state of the nation. You see, what happened was this. The nation of Israel, they were chosen by God. We live in a sinful world. God chose Israel, or starting with Abraham, but chose Israel to be a nation to show the world that there was an answer to the sin problem. So that people could have a remedy for sin. That it was possible to go to hell. That's why God did it. That's why God was fine with Israel when they just thought of nothing but themselves. When they didn't live as they should live, God was angry with them. He said, look, you are the only light. You know what? We're going on holiday, we've made some last stress the other week. I've started packing things. I was all packed, ready. You know how you always forget, the things you forget, like salt and pepper and things like that. I've got all ready. I've got my meat knife all sharp, and everything's all those things are packed. And I made some separate shepherd pies. I put marks on me, because I know that my daughter doesn't like mushrooms. But M on the ones that have got mushrooms in. And I think it wasn't permanent pen. Well, I'll put it in the freezer and we won't know it's got mushrooms. And I think,
oh, I don't believe it. And I'm frustrated, and that's just a few mushrooms. God looks down on the children of Israel, and he says, I just don't believe it. You have the answer to eternal life. And you do such weird things. You know what they, oh, I'll just tell you briefly, because you would be, that the children of Israel, they sacrificed their children once there. How wicked. God had shown them a different way, and yet they were guilty of doing that. And you think, how on earth can a people who know the light of the gospel do that?
Well, God speaks to them, and he says this to me in the first part of Isaiah chapter 1. He says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. He says, this is a public thing. I want the world to know that this isn't right. If ever you have a chance to go to a place called Axminster, there's down south, and in this place, in the 1600s, there was great blessing in the town, but the authorities were against non-conformists. They were people who weren't part of the Church of England. And they were against them. You weren't allowed to meet together. And they were treated very badly. But on one occasion, they did something, and it's really scary, I think. But I do understand. In their records, if you read their records, there was a couple that had committed adultery. That was a father slept with another man's wife. Now that's wrong. That's wrong on all accounts. It's wrong. The Lord tells us it's wrong. Because you see, the Bible tells us that marriage represents Christ and the church. And it's a holy thing, a glorious thing. And to look at another woman is a terrible, terrible thing. Well, the church had spoken to this man and this woman, and they would not listen. So it's, you know, what we would do, we would have that private thing, meet together in private in the church. Well, they invited the whole village. They wanted the whole village to come and share the meeting, so that the leaders of the church said that what this man and this woman have done, we do not agree with. It is wrong. They will not listen. They have gone against God's word. There was a way of repentance. We did say, look, there is a way to come back to the Lord, but you need to know. Because villages, they gossip in villages, don't they? Everybody knows of everybody's business. I know, when I go to the chip shop, as you know that I do, you hear the girls on the lads talking, that they offer the chips over and that. They're asking people questions, and you can just imagine, they know everybody's business. So this church is up. And you see, God was saying this to the whole world, listen, you need to know something. I am putting my people on the stand. I am publicly exposing what they have done. Now that's quite scary, isn't it? I remember as a young lad, I did something very naughty. I filled the school piano with rubbish. And it was in a classroom, and they moved it, and they put it in the main hall. I couldn't believe it. Just remember seeing the teacher ready to play. I'm thinking, how can we get out of this? And I did get out of it, and I'll tell you that story again another time. But I knew that I would have to stand in front of the whole school, and if the headmaster found out, he would have. Do you see, that's nothing compared to what he's found. He says, doesn't he? He says, look, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. I have done so much for them. I have blessed them more than they can imagine. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. And he goes on to say, listen, Israel, you have become sick because of your own doing. You are full of spiritual wounds. Not because of me, but because you have not considered my ways. And you've given yourself to your own things, your own intent, your own ideas. Says the whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and terrible sores. You only have to, when you look at our, if you ever have time to read the news, or read the news in the newspaper, or listen to the news, I'll tell you, all they're doing is trying to fix problems. They're trying to fix the problems of cruelty. They're trying to fix the problems of greed. They're trying to fix the problems of nations. One problem after another, they're trying to fix. And do you know why there's problems in this land? Because we've forsaken God. There is no answer to this country until this country comes back to a place where it says, look, we want one of God. That's the only answer. It's the only answer to the problems of the school. That's the only answer to the problems of teenage pregnancies. It's the only answer to... there are things that we don't even discuss. The only answer is that as a nation, we bow the knee. The only answer to broken homes. The only answer to the drug problem. The only answer to... And the list goes on, doesn't it? The only answer is when we bow the knee to God. And he goes on to say, and I mentioned this last week, didn't I, there in verses 7 to 8. He says, your country is desolate, your cities are burnt with fire, strangers devour your land in your presence. He says, you just look at empty land. You are not what you once were. Why? Because you rejected me. And we can be like that, Tommy. When we're young, you know, when you're young, I'll talk to the older ones. Remember looking back, and you could change the world. You had all the answers, and now you get to that another age and you realise, oh, I haven't got the answers, I'm still looking for the answers. And you get to a certain age and then your mind shuts that you can't remember the answers anyway. So the Bible says, you have to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, put your trust in your Creator there, and then when your mind's not what it could be, you're resting securely in Him. And you see, the children of Israel, they just put all their strength and all their desires in their own ability. And God says something terrible. He says here, after he reminded them that you're like an empty allotment that's overgrown, he says in verse 9, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have become like Gomorrah. And this picture reminds us of Abraham. Remember, those of you who know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his wife were living in this place. And it was a terrible, terrible place. And God said to Abraham, I don't know about you, but there are times, aren't there? It's nice to know something in advance. You know when you hear someone's getting married or someone's having a baby, but nobody else knows. It's dead exciting, isn't it? If you're not involved. It's dead exciting. You think, oh, this is amazing. But some things you don't want to know. Sometimes in the past that people will come and share things that it's very hard to live with. And you struggle and you bring it to the Lord. Well, Abraham was told that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, these two big cities. God said, I want to destroy them with fire. And Abraham prays that God would save them. He said, listen, unless there is someone there, then maybe there are some saints. and you see, God said, there's no one. There's only Lot. There's no one there. And I am going to destroy it. And the Lord says here, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant. Israel, they had a small remnant of people who trusted the Lord. We see here the mercy of God to our own land, don't we? That there are remnants of God's love and grace in this land. How often do you think the church is dying? You think, there aren't many churches, there aren't those who trust, etc. Look at the negative. What we should be reminding ourselves of is this. Isn't it wonderful that there's still a light? There's still a light in Bluebell Avenue. There's still a light in Holmes. There's still a light in Hillfields. There's still light all around this land that remind people of the mercy of God. Why is there so many problems in Iraq? Why are there so many problems in Eritrea, Bhutan, and these places where the gospel is so hard to come across? Because you see, the church, when it's as it should be, brings people of conviction. People who have a desire that men and women should live together in harmony, that children should be treated properly, that marriages should be honoured. That's why God blesses the land. We like salt, the Bible says. The Christians like salt, they purify it. People don't always want it. In Matthew 5 verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. But then he turns to the children of Israel and he talks about their religious situation. He says, hear the words of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the Lord of God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? So here are people, they've still got their temple, they still come, they still worship, they still sing their hymns, they still bring their sacrifices, they still bring their tithes, and God says, what are you doing that for? You know, just imagine for a moment. You're married for some years and your wife just walks out on you. And she finds another man. And it's very hard, isn't it? But your wife, every morning she comes, she lets herself in the house and she makes you breakfast. And she does your ironing and she does your washing. I said, what are you doing? You've left me. You've told me you don't love me. You come and do my ironing, you come and do my washing, you cook my meals. What are you doing? Your heart isn't there. What are you doing if you don't love me? Why are you coming to my house and doing this? You see, this is what God is saying to the children of Israel. You do all these things. You come and sing. You partake of communion. You have the finest of hymns. You have the finest of pictures. And when you bring your sacrifices, they're the most pure and amazing animals you bring. And he says, I don't want it. Because you don't love me. Your heart isn't there. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? And you can see, you asked me to do this. He said, look, you asked us to do this, you asked us to bring sacrifices, you asked us to do this, the act of worship, you asked. He said, no. I asked you to do this with a heart of love to me. That's what I asked you.
Every sacrifice, every lamb that was sacrificed, you should have such a heart that you don't want to do this. Every lamb you sacrifice, you'd be thinking, this is horrendous. You should be thinking, why are we doing this? We are doing this because it points to a day when my son will die for you. You shouldn't be just doing it and not thinking about it. How many thousands of people partake of communion every week and they're just doing the thing? I went to the undertakers and to give them my card and say, look, if you need me to do any funerals, I'm here, I'll move church. And someone said to me, look, we don't mind if you don't say any prayers or hymns. He said, but do you do any Our Fathers? Do you know what an Our Father is? Well, it's the Lord's Prayer. You don't say it at school now, do you? When I was at school, you used to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It was what the Lord Jesus taught the disciples. If you want to pray, use this as a pattern. Don't turn this into a lucky charm. But use this as a pattern of prayer. And this person said to me, people like you to say an Our Father. Let there be a bit of religion in it. And the Lord said, listen, I don't want a bit of religion. I don't want a bit of your life. I want all of your life. Because I'm going to give you all of mine. My son is going to die on Calvary one day. And he is going to give himself so that you can have life eternal. And I demand of you your heart. He goes on to say, didn't he? He says, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity. I cannot endure iniquity on a sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts. My soul hates them. They are a trouble to me. I'm just sick of it. I don't want it anymore. He said, if you do not come to me with a heart that is changed, I do not want it. Imagine feeling like that. Imagine coming to church all these years. And the Lord Jesus comes alongside you and says, yeah, Fred, or Florence, or whoever, I just want to tell you something. I'm sick of you coming. I've had enough of your empty words. I've had enough of your empty promises. I've had enough of the fact that you talk holy words, but it's not in your heart. How do you feel? What is it you're talking about this? If you are not coming with a genuine heart, you have no place in heaven. Yes, you might be a member here, you might have a place here, we love you all of you. But the thing is, God says to you, unless you come to me through the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What an awful thought. What does the Lord require of them? There in verse 16 he said this. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. The thing is, how can we wash ourselves? Well, when you turn to the Psalms tell us there, after David had sinned, he committed adultery, he had slept with another man's wife, and he'd had that man killed, and he'd had a child. He was king, he should never have done it. Oh, it was such a mess. And the prophet Nathan comes and he exposes his sin and says, you're a man who's committed a terrible sin. And David writes his psalm. He says, wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me from my iniquity. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord, it is you who can make me clean. You know,
When you're young, what Alex is Alex, isn't it? Yeah. And Brogan and Kate, when you're young, you just got so much to look forward to. But when you get to my age and some of the older ones, you look back on things we've done and said, and you think, you're a horrible man. Why did you say that? Why did you do that? And can I ever make this right? Well, David says you can. You can. As you come before God, we can be washed as white as snow. David knew that it was only through falling on the mercy of God that he would be cleansed. And down through the ages, the people of God looked to a time when there was a real cure. And you only have to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, and you've got an amazing passage that talks about the Messiah who would come. There is an answer. You can be made as white as snow. You can be made like wool. You can be. It is possible. Because you see, Isaiah asks the question, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed it? There will be someone who will grow up. There will be someone who will have... no one will love him. No one will think that there's anything special about him. This is the one who will leave the glory of heaven to become a man. The Bible says there is no beauty that we should desire him. He will be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from it. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely, it says, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. There will come one who will represent us. And he'll be treated in such an abominable manner. There is one who is all the goats that were slain on Jewish altars, all the blood that was spilled. That was pointing to Jesus. The Lord Jesus, as you learn in Sunday school, is called the Lamb of God. This is what Isaiah 53 is talking about. And it says this in verse 5. It says, and by his stripes we are healed. In fact, in the Hebrew, it's in the singular. His back was just such a mess, it was just one stripe, with many rashes. But you see, the thing is this, as horrible as it was as Christ hung upon that cross, our minds cannot take in what punishment God laid upon him. In the heavenlies, God sacrificed his son, so that we could know eternal life. He became us. He didn't die in our place. He became us. And he was punished for all eternity for our sakes, so that we might go free. The writer to Isaiah says, doesn't he? Is it possible that though my sins are as scarlet, they could be as white as snow? Is it possible that though they are red like crimson, they can be as wool? Yes! It is possible! Because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And I don't know about you, I am so glad I wasn't born then. I'm so glad that I wasn't born before Calvary. I'm so glad that I have a Bible that tells me of what Jesus did for me. I am so glad that the New Testament has all the answers for my sin problem. But I'm also glad that in the Old Testament it tells you this. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has hidden our sins from him. Into the deepest ocean he has thrown our sins. We are clean and pure and holy, but only if we reason together. You ever talk to yourself? I talk to myself all the time. I reason with myself all the time. I question what's being said. And the Bible is saying, you need to question your salvation. You need to ask yourself, when the pastor, whoever he may be, because I might be dead, you don't know. When the pastor stands before your coffin as it lays here, or wherever it may be, I have seen it on an airplane, you don't know. But could your pastor at your service, and there's no God there, could he say, I know my sister knew this, that she could say, that he could say, my brother, that I know that my Redeemer lives. That it wasn't a matter of doing things. They weren't people of deeds. Yes, they were. But they didn't do things because they had to. But they did things because Christ was in their heart. Are you a child of God because Christ reigns in your heart? Is your heart clean? Well, we pray that it is. But I do say that if you've never called upon his name, you will not know that freedom is found in Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we just want to thank you that question of can it happen? That your word tells us yes it can. Oh Lord, we thank you those of us who love you and know you. We want to thank you for that day when we reasoned within our heart by the power of your Spirit. That you so wooed us that we became your children. And we pray that for everyone gathered here. That there would be no wondering. Lord, that we would have that assurance within us. That we know that our Redeemer is. So Lord, we ask that you'd encourage us now. We close with our final in Jesus' name. Amen. A final hymn is how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. And we'll stand to sing. of your goodness to us. Lord, we do pray that we would know that you have paid our ransom. That we would know the glory of your presence within us. And we do pray for the youngest to the eldest that, Lord, that we will not leave it too late. We will not trust in religion alone. But Lord, that we would trust in the wonder of your salvation. Oh, Father, open our eyes. Oh, that we might see the wonder of what you've done. So, Father, we ask that you be with us. Encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.